Welcome to the FaithBridge Men's Podcast. This teaching was recorded live on February 20th, 2024, taught by FaithBridge Men's Pastor Danny Hannon. Welcome to week four of our Who Do You Say I Am series, a study in the Gospel of John.
Okay, so any of you guys ever heard of Tough Mudder, the race Tough Mudder? Okay, yeah, I'm not talking about the small Spartan runs or the little mud runs, I'm talking Tough Mudder, okay? Stupidest race on the planet. All right, like seriously, dumbest thing ever. Before the Holy Spirit illuminated my soul, my buddy came to me and he's like, dude, we should do this. Like, this would be an epic adventure. Like, epic adventure. And naturally, I'm like, yeah, man, yeah, let's do it. Well, here's the thing. I'm going to call it like it is. The lunatics behind this race, come to find out, they're like prior special forces in Britain or something like that, put this whole thing together. They pride themselves on inflicting enormous amounts of physical and mental pain and torture. Okay? I'm not talking about like CrossFit with Eric Lewis pain. I'm talking about like the vasectomy gone bad pain. Like, that's what this thing was. That's what it was, all right? They mess with a man's mental faculties. Kind of like cutting the switch. You older guys, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? When you had to go out and cut your own switch, you younger's like, what is that game? Oh, it was a fantastic game. When you grew up in the 60s, 70s, or 80s, this was where, you know, you get in trouble as a kid, and dad's like, all right, go out and pick your switch. That is a stick he's going to beat you with, okay? And the mind game is you're standing out there going, if I pick that one, it'll break my spine. That one, they'll send me back out here. Which one will keep me from having to come back out but inflict the least amount of pain? That is a mental game. Well, that's like how Tough Mudder was. Not only was it physical pain, it was mental pain. 32 obstacles over 13 miles of running intended to inflict carnage. Clearly, I am not over it because we paid them to do it. So who's the lunatic now, right? Like, I paid them for that. I'm not over it. I'm going to go talk with Matthew Bailey tomorrow. We'll resolve my issues. My apologies. But my point is, guys, is the first obstacle that we would come to was a blacked out tunnel. Right? You get down on all fours, you got to crawl into this space, and all of a sudden you're in this, and it's pitch black. Like, you cannot see the hand in front of your face. All you're feeling is like mud and water, and you're trying to like crawl your way through here, and there's two thoughts. One is how the heck do I get out of here? And two, I hope to God my nose doesn't go face first into the man in front of me, right? And his, you know, backside, right? That is a real concern that you have. Life can kind of feel that way sometimes, right? Like just dark, like total darkness, like blacked out, like I'm lost, I'm confused, I don't know where I'm going, I don't know what I'm doing. Well, this week I had this past Sunday, I had the absolute honor and privilege. I didn't see Connor Afeld. Connor, are you here tonight? I don't think he's here tonight. But had the privilege of baptizing him this Sunday. And that is exciting, guys. I want to clap for that. I know he's not here, but when a man gives his life over and he steps in, it is unbelievable to be a part of that. And I had the privilege to be there and do that with him and baptize him. And it was unbelievable. And guys, I want to put this seed in your mind. If it's still something you're thinking about, come and talk to us. We want you to do it. So let us know. But the point is if you ask Connor, he will tell you that this is what his life was. He got out of the military, and all of a sudden, he's leaving what he understood as community, what he understood as purpose was, and he's stepping back into his family that he doesn't even know how to enter back into that space. He was lost. He didn't have identity. He didn't know what he was supposed to do, what job he was supposed to do. Was I supposed to go to school? Where am I going? What am I doing? And many times, many of us, we then start to look to the world to help form our identity, our understanding of what we're supposed to be doing. And we know where that leads. Like, that doesn't always lead to the best places. And that's where Connor found himself until Christ illuminated his soul. And that's what happened. He came alive, and all of a sudden, he was in the light. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Okay? So let's jump into John chapter 8, verses, starting with verse 12. Let's read that together. Jesus said, again, speaking to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So there's two things here, guys, that we should be thinking about. One is, what is it to walk in darkness? And then what is it to have the light of life? Well, First thing, I think there is, the way that I see it is there's two kinds of darkness that I want to discuss tonight, that I want to illuminate tonight for us. Number one, the first one is total darkness. Like, that is not being able to see what's right in front of you. And the worst part maybe is to say, I don't want to see what's right in front of me, right? It's total darkness, okay? And this is where we'll see, we start to understand that Jesus says in verse 19, he goes on to say that they said to him, well, who's your father? And Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my father. If you knew me, you would know my father also. And he goes on in then verse in 37, he says, I know that you're the offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my words find no place in you. See, they were claiming to be the offspring of Abraham, right? They're claiming, like, what are you talking about, Jesus? We're the chosen, like, we're the children of Abraham. Like, we know the Father. And he's like, no, because if you knew the Father, if you were actually acting like Abraham did, if you were serving and loving God, you would know me. If you knew the Father, you'd know me. If you knew me, you'd know the Father. But you're in total darkness. You're not getting it, right? And then we see, you know, before this moment, what we see is this kind of back and forth happening where it's like, well, who are you? Who is this Jesus? And they're like, oh, he is the prophet. Oh, no, he's the Christ. Well, if he was the Christ, then you know, he would look like this. He would be the offspring of David, or he would be from Bethlehem. Well, maybe he's not from Bethlehem. I don't know. Does he come from David? Like, they're going back and forth because they need proof. Like, the problem is that Jesus didn't fit their expectation of what they said the Christ was supposed to look like. So they're trying to find that proof, right? They're living in total darkness because they had something else in their mind, and Jesus is not fitting that bill. And he's saying, I don't fit your image of the Christ. You're not getting it. If you actually knew the Father, you would know that I am he. They're looking for that proof. And the sad thing is 2,000 years later, I feel like that really hadn't changed, right? Like, our culture still hasn't changed. My truth is truth. Right? Well, if God were real, my life would look like this. God wants me to be happy. God wants me to do this. And my God would look like this. And my God would do that. And therefore, maybe he just doesn't exist. Well, we're living in total darkness. Like, we're not picking up on who he is and what he's saying. That is total darkness. And the sad part is again, you can't even see what's right in front of you. And sadly, it's probably because you don't want to see what's in front of you. Like, it interferes with your way, your will, right? Your desires, the way my life was supposed to look like. That's what he's getting at. So that's total darkness. The second one is intellectual darkness. Okay, intellectual darkness. Now, the next obstacle in this stupid race, see, I'm still not over it, guys. The next obstacle in this thing was they literally use electric shock. I'm not kidding. They even advertise it, letting us know, we use electric shock in some of our obstacles. And now there's that little piece in your head that's like, no, they wouldn't do that. Like, they're messing with our heads, dude. Like, there's no way that this is, like, it's dangerous. They wouldn't do that, right? Well, anyways, I had that little thing in the back of my head. We get into this next tunnel. Again, it looks very similar to that first one that was total darkness, except I get in, I'm on all fours, I'm looking ahead, and I see this, like, grid across, right, with these little, like, parachute cords hanging down. And you've got to get on your stomach to get underneath these parachute cords, okay? But again, you're sitting here, you're going, I bet they're messing with us. Surely they're not going to, like, actually charge these with high voltage, right? So, like any good disbeliever, what do? I give it a flick, right? Like, I gotta put my fingers in the holes, right? I'm gonna give it a flick. So, nothing. I turn to my buddy. I'm like, dude, see, I told you. Like, they're messing with our heads. There's nothing. Oh, man. My hand grabbed that thing, cinched up. My hand's all tense like this. I'm peeling it off. I'm like, dude, those are hot. Don't touch the wire. Like, they're not lying. So, now I believe, right? Got it now. I'm trying to get all hands and fours. I'm just kind of shimming my way under this to avoid that. And the worst part is, guys, this would not be the last time I was electrocuted that day. I'm telling you, avoid Tough Mudder. But the point is that I saw something and I just didn't believe it, right? That's intellectual darkness. You can see it, but you don't believe it, right? And the sad part is this is my fear for people. This is our real fear for people, is that we get to this point where we're like, you know what? There is something broken within me. There's something broken in our culture. I don't know how to fix it. I don't know how to work through this. I don't know, you know, I just don't know. But I can see something. And then they have an interaction with Jesus, with the Christ. And they're like, huh, there's something different about this guy. Like, I feel a little better around him. But, you know, I just don't know. You know what? No, I'm out. It's too complicated. It's too complex. Like, I'm out. They see it, but they don't believe it, right? And that's the painful side for us as disciples, disciple makers, going, oh, but you're right there. It is, in fact, that simple. And Jesus is going, it is actually that simple. He's saying, I am the light. It is that simple, right? That through him, we have life, the light of life. And Jesus is saying, I am the literal life and the metaphorical life. That's what I want to leave you guys with. What he's saying is, when we look at that word in Greek, the literal definition is, the meaning is phaos in Greek, which is to say he is the lamp. Like, it's the actual light. It's a noun. It's the actual light that comes from something. He's saying, I am the phaos. But it also means that he is saying to us, I am also the pha'ano, which is to say, this is the illumination. Right? It's the experience you have that I have illuminated you. Your mind, all of a sudden, is your eyes are open and you start to see, and you are experiencing things. You're experiencing life. And so in him as the phaos and through him as the pha'ino, we are illuminated, and now we feel peace. We feel joy. We feel hope. We feel purpose. And it's even kind of hard to explain. Like, I don't know. I feel like I can see, like, the trees just look greener. Everything looks more amazing. The more that we lean into him, that's what he's saying. It is actually quite that simple. When you just understand, I am the light of life. You won't walk in darkness. You will walk in the light of life and me. So how do we make it even more simple? There's two things that he leaves us with. Number one, believe he is the he, capital H, the he. What do I mean by that? Well, let's just look at Jesus's words, where he says in verse 34, he says, I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. What is he saying? He's saying that I am who you have been looking for. I am what you've been looking for. I am it, right? Like Pratik teaching us that he was the bread of life. All life comes from him. He's exactly what you need. He is the he that they have been looking for, the Christ, but they just can't wrap their heads around it. And what's kind of funny is the next verse after that, they're like, okay, well, who are you? And he's like, oh, man. He's like, what have I been saying all this long? But like any good parent, what does he say? He goes, you'll see soon enough. Then you'll know what I'm talking about, okay? So it's kind of like he's saying, just hang in there with me. Just hang in. Just take a moment to believe, and then I'll show you. Like, that's the luxury that we have on this side of the resurrection, is we have all the proof that we need, both in the word and in our spiritual awakening to him. We know what he is. For these guys on that side of the resurrection, they're like, Like, I hear your words. Having a hard time making sense of it. Wasn't exactly what I thought the fathers explained the Christ was going to be, but I hear you, but I may need to see it, right? I may need to see what happens. So he's saying, just hang in there with me. Believe my words and then follow me, and I will show you what this is about to look like, what's about to happen, all right? But for us, he's saying, just believe me. And then we go to point number two, which is abide in his word. Abide in his word. That's where he says, he gets right to the point in verse 31 and 32. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him. See, he's differentiating. There are a group that are like, nope, I'm out. It's way too complicated. And then there's another group that's like, okay, I'll stick around long enough to see what's about to happen here. Like, I'm believing you enough, but I really want to see what's to happen, what's about to go down here. They believed in him. So what has he said? If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Let's pull off here just for a second, spend some time on what that word abide means. We're going to break down kind of each of this section. Abide, first, I love this, in Greek is meno. Okay, the literal definition of meno is to remain in, right? To remain in his word. But the usage of it all through scripture has been a place, a time, and a condition. All right, so we can take kind of all four of those, and I think they're applicable right here because Jesus is saying, remain in my word, be present in my word, endure in my word, and be one with my word. That's how they would use this, that term minnow, okay? And then what happens whenever we are in the word, we are abiding in it? We begin to look and act and feel more and love more like Christ did. That is to become his disciple. So when he said, abide in my word, then you will be my disciple. You're living in this, you start to act like him, look like him, love like him, and now you're a disciple of him, right? And a disciple makes disciples, which we'll get to that point in just a second. But he goes on and he says, and then you'll know the truth. What's the truth? Okay, the truth is that they needed their eyes to be illuminated first to was his ways are greater than my ways, and I want it. His nature is greater than my nature, and I want it. His desires are greater than my desires, and I want it. His love is greater than my love, and I want it. Right? And then he goes to say that then you will be set free. Our eyes will be open to the beauty all around us. You'll be set free. Set free from what? Set free from the domination of sin. Okay? That's what he's meaning here. Now, I want to just say that, let's take a moment here to just, again, I want to address something. I feel like we get hung up here sometimes when, especially with new believers or men that are like right there, or even some of us, we can get hung up for that have been journeying this for this long, is we go, man, when I accept Christ and I step into this moment, maybe it's like when I get baptized, do I come out of the water and I'm just supposed to be like, boom, I'm entirely new, all of my old ways are dead, all my old ways are gone, and I am totally healed, I am never gonna be the same. That is the case in one regard, that you'll never be the same, but rarely, although the goal, but rarely is it just an automatic everything, you'll never struggle with anything, you'll never experience temptation. That's not the truth. The truth is that we begin a journey with Christ on an upward trajectory where our lives look more like the stock market, right? What does the stock market look like? If you go back 10 years ago, I'd sure like to know that today it was higher than when it was 10 years ago, right? That's what your life should look like. However, you have moments, of a little fall, big rise, little fall, big rise, so that over time, we're on an upward trajectory. If you zoom into one day, yeah, you might see a fall. You might see a massive rise. But I hope who I am today, if you go 10 years ago, I am drastically different than where I was 10 years ago. Even though I loved Christ then, I'm drastically different now. 10 years from now, I would still like to say that the moments where I reach out and grab that wire get fewer and fewer. That's the trajectory I'm on. Okay, so he's saying you are freed from the domination of sin, not the presence of it. Abide in my word, and the time and distance between those moments when we're grabbing that wire and get shocked off of it, get farther and farther and farther away. The more that we abide in his word, that's what he's saying. So let me close with this, guys. When you have stepped into that, when you have stepped into now Christ being the light of your life, when you're abiding in his word, you're becoming a disciple of his, your whole world is just like your eyes have been opened, you can't keep that to yourself. That's what I love about why I mentioned Connor this morning, or this evening, because what I've seen in Connor is he will absolutely not keep that to himself. He will tell anybody who's willing to listen, and the best part is he'll even tell those not willing to listen. That's awesome. That's a guy who's saying, guys, I have stepped into the light, man. I know any of us who've experienced coming out of darkness in the light, you never want to go back to darkness, right? Like think of it in our simple day-to-day lives. Who likes the dark, the night? No. Like I love when that sun comes up and it's like you just want to be present in the sun. And abiding in him and walking with him is kind of like if I had the legs fast enough to run as fast as the earth is turning, I would try to stay in the sunlight nonstop. That's what it is to stay in his light. And he's saying, abide in my word and then you will. Abide in me and you will. So this is what I want to leave you guys with is to simply say, now that you're abiding and you're stepping into that, becoming his disciples. What do disciples do? It's part of our mission statement. Disciples make disciples. which is to say, I'm not going to keep this to myself. Why would I? I want somebody else to know. So just like I told my buddy, this is what I need y'all to do before I pray this out, is to say, when I've grabbed that wire and I realize, man, that's going to bite me, I tell my buddy, you got to tell your brothers, you got to tell your teammates, dude, don't touch that wire. It's hot. Leave that one alone. Avoid that. Follow me and I'll show you what true light looks like. I'll show you the Christ that will illuminate your world and give you the light of life. Okay? That's how we do it. Let me pray for us and y'all jump into your table discussions. Lord, I thank you so much for this time. I thank you for these men. Lord, let your spirit move at these tables. Let conversations just open up all sorts of pathways where your light can be present. They can experience your presence through the conversation. Lord, be with us now. Be with these men. Guide and steer our conversations to truth and to love and to healing for some of us. Lord, we love you and we trust you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.